and all things are possible now that you're here. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Alfred.
So, just a few of us tonight. Sister Laura on the piano, thank you very much. Amen. The wonderful Josh Morris ladies all standing by there. By Brother Josh. David and Lily are here. Jesse in the back. Emma's with us and Brother Alfred, of course. So I got something. Well, if I think it's strange, then it's probably, you know. It's just something that's on my mind, on my heart. You know what? You can take your seats. Let's have a look at who's online. Say God bless you. I know there are a couple of things written up there. Brother Alfred couldn't get there. Lenore's online. God bless you. She says, prayer request or testimony. I guess this is a testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for showing your love by your word. So, God bless you. Ron, Pam, and Janelle, Greg, Karen, Philip, Natalie, Matthew, and Timothy. Now, they're not here. They usually would be here. And they didn't put in a prayer request, but I happen to know they've all got a bit sore throats after traveling. So we'll keep that. Please keep that in your prayers. Randy and Linnell, God bless you. Rachel, Elisha, Luke, and Tiffany. Sister Mary Ann, Uncle Paul. Jamie, Kaylee, and Christian. Diane Warren. And Fabio, Myra, and Miley. Baby Miley is coming to church online. There's a little praise report. We praise the Lord for his goodness and for all your prayers. We're back home from the hospital. Mum and baby are doing great. God bless you all. So we trust the Lord will be with there. And I've just got a text message from Brother Don Hoffman. Mary and I, Charity and Peter and Diane are all online. I guess they must be with Sister Diane Warren. But they forgot to put their names in. But God bless you all. Amen. We trust the Lord will be with you, give you a wonderful time. And, yeah, God is good. So, all the time. Okay, let's get into it. I want to talk about how to speak. How to speak. And we're going to start by reading some scriptures. And they're a little different from the scriptures that you might normally think about reading as the start of a service. But I have a reason for this, and we're going to get into this because we're going to talk about how to speak. So if you'd like to stand and bear with me because I didn't practice too much, and you'll understand what I mean in a second, we're going to turn to 1 Chronicles Chapter 4. We got three scriptures that we're going to read. Okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and from verse 24. And it says, we'll just wait. Some people are still trying to find Chronicles because it's not a chapter we open to all that often. So here we go. The sons of Simeon were Nemuel and Jamin, Jarib, Zerah, and Shaul. Shalom his son, Mibsham his son, Mishma his son. And the sons of Mishma, Hamuel his son, Zachur his son, Shimei his son. And Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters, but his brethren had not many children, neither did all their families multiply like unto the children of Judah. And they dwelt at Beersheba and Molada and Hazar-Shual and at Bilhah and at Ezim and at Tolad and at Bethuel and at Horma and at Ziklag and at Beth-Markaboth and at Hazar-Shushim and at Beth Berai and at Shariam. These were their cities unto the reign of David. And their villages were Etam and Ain, Rimmon and Tochen, Ashan, five cities, and all their villages that were round about the same cities unto Baal. And these were their habitations and their genealogy, and Meshobah and Jamlech, and Joash the son of Amaziah, and Joel, and Jehu the son of Joshibiah, the son of Sariah, the son of Asiel, and Eloenai, and Jacobah, and Jehoshiah, and Azariah, and Adiel, and Jeshimael, and Benahiah, and Ziza, the son of Shiphi, the son of Orlon, the son of Jadiah, the son of Shimri, the son of Shemaiah. These mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. Okay? Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. You get the idea here, I think. All right? But this is the word of God. Okay? Matthew chapter 1 from verse 1. Well, we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read from Abraham to David. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zara of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. You can read the rest of the chapter when you get home. Let's take one more, okay? Let's take Revelations, the mouth of two or three witnesses, Revelations chapter 7. Verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zabulon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may take your seats. Father, be with us tonight. Ah, wow. Like I said, something interesting. It's like, what do those scriptures mean? And there are many passages in the Bible like that. Just lists of names and cities. And lists of things that happened. And some are repeated 2 or 3 or 12 times. You would think for the sake of efficiency and writing things down and make it easy, you'd just say they were, you know, every tribe was sealed 12,000. But no, we went down, all the names are listed there. Okay? Why is it that we have the genealogy of Simeon in Chronicles and the villages and the towns and all those things? I don't know. I don't understand it. But I was listening to Chronicles recently. I have an audio Bible, and I was listening to Chronicles recently, and that came up, and I thought, my goodness, why is that there? And it's not a question of, well, why is that there? We should forget about it. It's a question that there's no part of the Word of God that is without significance. Everything is in there for a reason, but you don't know. Well, maybe if you know the reason, you can tell me. I mean, I am very open. If someone has a revelation, Please come and see me afterwards. Shoot me an email. Let's sit down and you can explain that to me. But at the moment, I don't know. I just know that it's a part of the Word of God. Right. There's a revelation hidden there. Why is this in the Bible? I don't know. I don't understand. But I believe it's the Word of God. Okay? And I want to talk. I have a little girl at home. Her name is Tiffany. How many of you met her? How many of you have talked to Tiffany? Emma has, yeah. Jesse, you've talked to Tiffany. Have you girls talked to Tiffany? Has she talked back to you? Yeah? Did you understand her? No. Okay. Not very much. She's 2 years old. Okay. And it's interesting because a child develops. And it's amazing. There's something absolutely incredible about it. That you just drop that child into the atmosphere of people talking. And that child just is there and is just listening and then starts babbling. Blah, 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 blah. We all started like that. Right. I guess sometimes some of us still sound like that. Okay. But we all started like that. Right. And then as we babbled and listened and babbled and listened, something amazing happened in our mind that we started to da, da, da. Ma, ma, ma. Piano, piano. Right. You know? Okay. It's something absolutely amazing happens and something beautiful happens where you start to understand connections are made in your mind and you start to understand what words are about and what's been going on around you and you've been in that atmosphere and you've absorbed the words of everybody around you and you start to say, can I speak this back to people? And you start to realize and it's not like you start to realize you it just comes naturally at that age to start going da 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 want and to point and to say want and to say no and, you know and to say those things and to develop into the kind of person that can communicate more and more effectively and can make your desires known in an effective way and get what you want. So, and this came from, partly from the little Bible study that we did on Friday. So some of you, some of this may be familiar. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4 because we want to learn to speak, and don't get me wrong here. All right. We want to learn to speak the words of power of Jesus Christ. You understand? Okay. We want to learn to speak the words that will move mountains. We want to learn to speak the words that will change situations. Okay. And we need to know how to speak. And just like a child learns how to speak, what I want to do is I didn't sit Tiffany down and be like, okay, Tiffany, you're 6 months old. Now's the time we're going to start to talk elocution lessons. Let's get the chalkboard out. You'll be sitting there, take your binky out and concentrate. A, B, C. That's not how we learn to speak. That's not how we learn to communicate. And I think too often we have this idea that we're going to enter into something spiritually by having a wonderful spiritual teacher come, by sitting and listening to Brother Don and being like, someday we'll be like, oh, now I've got my spiritual elocution lessons all lined up. Now I can start to speak like a Christian of power. You understand what I'm saying? That's why would we think it would be that way in the spiritual when it's not that way in the natural? You're in an atmosphere. You hear things in the atmosphere, you absorb that, and you start to babble. You start to say things that you don't even understand, and gradually you narrow in and you know how to communicate and how to speak. Okay? I have another little boy at home. We have prayer time every night. Kids are wonderful, okay? We went to England a few years back, and we would do prayers as a family, and Aunt Michelle came with us, and Luke made a really nice connection with Aunt Michelle. And so whenever we come to pray at night, it's like he has his nighttime prayer. Okay? And he'll pray, "Dear Lord Jesus, Ducky Muhe, Aunt Michelle, Mummy, Daddy, Elisha and Emma, Amen." And then Tiffany was born, and it took me months to get him to add Aunt Michelle, Mummy, Daddy, Elisha, Emma, Luke and Tiffany. In Jesus' name, Amen. Okay, but that first section, Ducky Muhe, he says, I'm like, what's that mean? Now it means something to him.
Right.
He says it every time. I don't know if it even means something to him now, other than that's what I say when I pray. But originally, I don't know, it must have come from somewhere.
Right.
Okay, I don't know if he was, we were on a farm, it's like the ducks, the cows, and the sheep, Ducky Muhe. I have no idea. Okay? But that's the way that we learn to pray. And we should teach our young people, our babies, to pray. And that's the way they develop into prayer, by it comes from places that are like, I'm just saying what mommy and daddy say, and then about 3 nights ago, it was really sweet. He prayed, and it was like, "Dear Lord," and he prayed his day. So thank you for going to grandma's and the playground, and I can't remember everything that he said, but it was actually like a coherent thought came out in the prayer. Of now, I don't know how much it's like, thank you God for this individually making the connection, but now he's saying, "Dear Lord," and there's my day before me, and I'm acknowledging my day before you, and I'm like, okay, we made a little step forward. Thank you, Luke, that was a good prayer. Then the next night, Ducky Muhe, Aunt Michelle. It's like, wonderful. But you see how he's developing, and Lord willing that he will develop. Emma's there, I'll pick on you a little bit. I got so annoyed with Emma because it was like, okay, she had her prayer that she prayed, and it was the same every night. And it was just, man, it was vain repetition, you know. Thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for in Jesus' name, amen. So I got to the point, you're old enough now that you know what you're saying. Don't just string these words out and that's my prayer. It's like, okay, let's sit down. For a while, we were like, okay, who are we going to pray for? Let's incorporate that in our prayers. Okay. And she's gotten better because she's gotten older and wiser and she knows more words. Okay. But what we're looking at is we're saying, how do we learn how to become spiritually speaking? It's not by sitting down and having lessons. It's not by spiritual school. You can do it that way. You end up with a bunch of Pharisees and denominations, okay? But it's by being, well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 here. We'll start with verse 20. We're not going to get all the way through this process, but we're going to start with this process. It says here, "My son, attend to my words. Let thine ears incline unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to but all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you start off by saying there's the word of God, and we're going to live in the atmosphere of the word of God. We're going to absorb it. We're going to put it in our heart. We're going to keep it in our heart. We're going to live in that atmosphere, and then we're going to start expressing something, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the mouth speaks from what you put in it. And if you put the bad things in it, your mouth is going to speak bad things. If you put the good things in it, your mouth can speak the good things. But your mouth can't speak things, yeah, that you haven't put in it. Brother Alfred, how many languages do you know?
Just one local language.
Okay. Come up here just for a second. All right, I want you to say something in your local language that you know it's really hard for people to pronounce.
Gabagalagi.
Any volunteers? Say it again, brother.
Gabagalagi.
What does it mean?
Almighty God.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Alfred. Now, how many of you think you could say it? I've lost it already. Because I've never heard that word before. And so it's not in my mind, it's not in my being, it's not in my heart. I can't express it in that way. You see? But what you hear, what you absorb, what you're in the atmosphere goes, drops down into your heart. And now, let's finish this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay? Your ears attend. Incline thine ears to my saying. Watch what you hear. Make sure you're hearing the word of God. Okay, let them not depart from thine eyes. What are you looking at? This is your inputs. Okay? Keep them, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now we're starting to speak. The lips are bringing out. That, so, mouth, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now we're seeing things in a different way. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now we're in action. Okay? So your heart is full. Then you can start speaking. Then you can start seeing. Then you can be in action. All right? But you're not in action before you start seeing. And you can't see before you start speaking, and you can't speak right before you've got that in your heart. Okay? Just, you're tracking here. This is making sense. All right? So, and here's the thing. You don't have to understand what you hear for it to have an effect on you. That's why we read those scriptures. Did you understand that? I didn't. I mean, I understood the words, didn't understand what the meaning, didn't understand what God was. You know, we had that wonderful, what was it? Everything in the New Testament speaks of today. Amen? Everything in the Bible speaks of today. Everything in the Bible is pertinent to that day. Like, amen? Not hearing any amens. Okay. How? I don't know. Okay. But let's turn to, let's have a look. Yeah, I've got a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 13. Okay, atmosphere, what you're listening to, what you're hearing. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their heart, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and they should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that you see, and have not seen them, to hear those things that ye hear and have not heard them. So these parables, you see what he's saying? They can hear them with their ears, but it doesn't get to the heart. Because it doesn't get to the heart, they can't have that atmosphere and sit in that atmosphere of holiness and that atmosphere of godliness, and they can never speak it, they can never produce it, because they can never get into that atmosphere. Okay? But it's not about understanding. It's about receiving. You see? Receiving. And I got another scripture written down here, and I hope it's the right one. Mark chapter 9. Yeah. Mark chapter 9. Again, the Mount Transfiguration. Okay. And here are the disciples, and they have no clue what's happening. All right, they have no clue what's happening. And suddenly, when they've looked round about, well, let's start from the beginning of the chapter. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there be some that stand here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Like, wow, did they understand that? Probably not. Now after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by himself. He was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as the snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. They were in that atmosphere, but they didn't understand it mentally, but something was happening in that atmosphere. They're taking their baby steps. Things were happening around them, and they were like, but that wasn't a problem, because that was the beginning of, I'm in an atmosphere and I'm trying to, I don't know what to do. And you see little babies, and they don't know what to do, but they know they want to be part of something. Yeah? And it's not, wow, you don't understand what's going on. Be quiet till you can be part of the conversation. It's like, that's a good thing. Oh, yeah, ba, 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 ba. You say it back to them, and you encourage them in that way, and they're starting to speak. And there was a voice there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Absorbing, absorbing, absorbing. And suddenly, when they looked round about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with them. And as he came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man the things they had seen, till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, and questioned one another what the rising from the dead should mean. They didn't understand. They didn't understand. But they were in that atmosphere, and they were receiving, receiving, receiving. Okay, and then I've got Luke chapter 9, just to kind of show this in a slightly different light. Okay, all right. So it's the same situation, a little more detail, little detail hidden there. It says he comes down from the mountain. And the demons cast out the boy. And then it says in verse 44, verse 43, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. So it's like, Josh, I have something really important I want you to focus now. Are you focusing? You need to really pay attention. It's like, yes, Lord, we're paying attention. These are the sayings that need to sink down into our ears. And he said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. I'm telling you this. This is really important. Yeah? You gotta absorb this. And they were like, verse 45. But they understood not this saying. It was hid from them that they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. Yes, Lord. That the Son of Man. What does that mean? Well, I have no idea. Shall we ask? No. He said it was really important. He said it like we should understand it, and they were afraid to ask him. Okay? But what was happening? Absorbing, and little kids absorbing. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They were afraid to ask. They perceive not. Let's turn to John chapter 12. Okay. All right, verse 12. And the next day, much people were come to that feast when they'd heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he'd found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, thou daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first. He got to the end of the day, they're like, that wasn't what I was expecting. That was really weird. Jesus has been talking about, I'm going to rise the third day. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of the men. This is going to happen. And then we just went there and there are giant crowds. Hosanna is he. They're throwing their garments like, this is really strange. Absorbing. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, yeah, some weeks later, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they'd done these things unto him. You see? Absorbing out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now I wonder, how much did Peter understand what he said when he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God? Was that just the first steps of a baby saying, Dada? It's like, yeah, well done. I'm your Dada. Dada. But not much else. He couldn't explain the theology and the scriptures and connect everything together. He just said, I know one thing. I've been with you so long that and he said, blessed art thou, Simon, for you've absorbed something into your heart and you have spoken something now that's the truth that came from God. Blessed art thou. Okay? And so there's James and John. And they're absorbing. Yeah? And they get to that village of the Samaritans and they're, Oh Lord, do you want us to cast down the fire from the heaven? No? It's like, the baby says, like, no, that's not the way we talk. That's not proper communication. Okay, you may have seen somebody do that, you know. Favorite example is, you know, all kids do this. Well, maybe not all kids, maybe some lovely kids never do this. But when daddy tells big brother no, okay, then little brother feels like he can tell big brother no as well. It's the same with big and little sisters. At least in my family. I don't know about your family, Josh. I see some smiling over there. You understand? So you're saying, I've seen someone do this before. Can I do this? And no. That's just on special occasions that we call fire down out of heaven. That's not for everybody to do all the time. See? Why? Baby speaking and being trained and being directed. And not by Jesus sitting down and saying, okay, you know, let's get to the blackboard here. Let's explain exactly why. He didn't do that. He just said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And kind of left them to figure it out from, there's not much else recorded about that. You see? But through those experiences, they learn what to say and what not to say. Because it's that which we hear and speak. It's that which we hear that's important. That which we hear and absorb, not that which we understand and absorb. You follow me?
Right.
Okay. So, get into the things that you're confident are the Word of God. Get your eyes on them. Get your ears on them. Absorb them and then start speaking. Okay. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Talk some more about speaking. And this is just laid out perfectly for you and for me in the scriptures. And you can't. God is so good. God is so. You know, start listening to the Bible. Okay, and don't listen to one chapter. Okay, start listening to like a book at a time. It'll change the way you see the Bible if you've never done that. Because generally we read a few verses or we read a chapter and we don't necessarily get that whole joined up thought that is being expressed. Okay? You don't get all the connections that are being expressed until you're like six chapters back and six chapters forward and, you know, and you're like, that puts that little passage into a different context. This is very important. We're just going to go through this really, really, really quickly to the lead up to this, all right? And we'll start in chapter 12, and he's talking about the gifts, and he says, God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, help, governments. This is verse 28. I'm just going through it. But are all prophets, are all apostles? Cover earnestly the best gifts. It's like, yeah, get the gifts in operation. Cover earnestly the best gifts, but I'm going to show you unto you in a more excellent way. And then he says charity. He says, hey, listen, you can speak with the tongues of men and angels. Okay? If you don't have charity, it's not going to do you any good. All right? You can feed the poor. You can have enough money to feed the poor, and you can feed all the poor in the world, but if you don't have charity, what's it going to count? Okay? So look at the gifted people that are around us. All right? Look at Brother Don. I'll pick on him because he's not here. I know he's online. But I pick on him because he's one of the best examples that I know of for this kind of thing. Okay? Gift of ministry. Amen? That's why we come here. Okay? But let's look at this. Okay. Doth not behave unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things. And now we're talking about characteristics of a way of life that say, okay, there's a gift, but there's a life that shows that the gift and the charity are lined up together. Okay? And I believe that we see that in Brother Don. Okay, the gift and the charity lined up together. All right, and that's what you're looking for. It's not just the gift. In other lives, in who you follow as a ministry, but more importantly, in your life. Okay, so, yeah, you can speak the word and you can have all the power to pull down the mountains and to burn people with fire and to walk around like some kind of modern day wizard, just blowing things up by the power of your word. And there's a certain part of us that's like, oh, that'd be nice. People would really know I was a man of God then. Okay. That's not how Jesus came. It's not how we should be. So follow after charity. So this is within the context of you can have these gifts, but if you don't have charity, yeah, you're not going anywhere good when you get to the end of your life. All right. So, like I say, I'm getting a bit distracted here, but that context is so important because you can take that one little scripture out and say, you know, well, here we go. All right. Verse 1, chapter 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now listen. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So speaking in tongues is bringing an atmosphere of godliness into your personal life, but you don't understand what's going on. Okay? He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Okay? So now, you can speak in unknown tongues and not know what you're saying, but when your understanding, your mental capacity isn't enlightened, you are still doing something to edify yourself spiritually, even though you don't understand what's going on. Why? You're speaking in angelic tongues. The tongue, da, 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 da. Mummy, mummy. What was that word, Brother Alfred? Kabaalagi. How'd I do? Yeah, he's laughing at me. Okay? And you're speaking something that has a significance and is drawing something and edifying inside of you, even though you don't know what's going on. And so again, I go back to that scripture that we read right at the beginning. The genealogy of Simon and the villages that his descendants were living in the days of David and the chief men of that. We read it. I guarantee you that you were edified spiritually by the reading of that. How? I have no idea, but it's the Bible. Okay? That was an atmosphere that we went into through the reading of the word, through the hearing of the word, that it's doing something there. If it's not doing something there, then it's not the word of God. And one day we'll see every little piece that came together to produce the right words that we want to speak because we're learning how to speak. Okay? Because speaking... Okay, why is speech more important? Time is getting away. Let's just turn to 2 Peter just for a confirmation of that. And we know this scripture as well. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, hath written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they also do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You see? And so there you have people that are trying to compromise on the scriptures to fit them into their lives instead of trying to fit their lives into the scriptures, or say, I don't understand it and I don't know how to fit my life into the scripture, but I believe it. You see? So, you don't have to understand what you're in the atmosphere of for you to be absorbing that atmosphere into your heart to be able to start speaking. And it's not something you're going to pick up in a church and somebody isn't going to be able to lay it out on a whiteboard, because that's not how babies learn to talk. So that's not how spiritual babies learn to talk. We learn to talk by absorbing the atmosphere and starting to speak it back. Okay? Because speaking happens before actions. Speaking happens, and we know that because in the beginning, what was in the heart of God was a spoken and became reality before he started acting in that reality. In fact, his words were his actions. And we know that we can create an atmosphere with our words. Got another scripture here, Luke 6:45, but I don't remember why I wrote it down. So let's have a look. Luke 6:45. Yeah, here we go. Yes. Now I remember why I wrote it down. Alright? Because what you put, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So, speak, absorb, and start speaking. Okay? Be careful how you speak. Be careful who you speak to. Okay? You don't need to go out to the sinner and try and speak in tongues to him to try and convert him. Who do babies start speaking to? Their parents and their brothers and sisters. Okay? Speak in prayer. Speak in prayer. Lord, I saw this in the scripture today. Thank you for this. And let him correct you and let him guide you. Okay, baby steps. Even if you don't understand it, speak it. What you hear, speak. And God will correct you. And he'll tell you, no, that's the wrong spirit. Don't say that again. Or he'll tell you, oh, yeah. Dada, I'm his dada. Say it again. You see? And then you start to learn to communicate in spiritual ways. And you start to understand what you can say and what you can't say. Because you're speaking in private to God. And he's talking back to you. And you're in that atmosphere where you hear his voice. And you're learning to speak. No one ever learned to speak without using their mouth. Okay? How do you teach people to speak in French, Sister Laura? Repetition, yeah. Okay? Say this. Oui. Oui. Okay, oui. Some of you guys have been in a French class, I see. What does it mean? That's not important right now. Just oui. Say it. Just speak it. Okay? And that's what we got to do to get to this place where we're speaking the words of God continually. Speak what's inside your heart, but make sure that what you're putting inside your heart you know is coming from God. And then start speaking. And it'll be babbles, and maybe you won't understand it at first. But eventually, something from within you, you'll understand that heart will connect with the understanding. And then you'll be able to say, this is where I should say this. This is where I shouldn't say this. Okay? And as you understand that, and as God kind of tracks you in and dials you in more and more, then he'll say, okay, now I want you to go out and speak to others. Speak my word to others. What do I say? Well, you already know because we've already been talking about this. You see? I want you to speak the words of power. Wow. Because here's the thing. Speaking the words of power. Josh, you got anything in your garage that's like could cause death? Yeah. You let any of the kids touch it? Yeah, he does. Supervised, right? Okay. And not out in the open with strangers around. No. If Luke goes over, he's not getting to touch them. All right? But you understand there's a process of maturity. It's like, hey, kids, this saw here will chop your leg off, and I'm not joking. But there's a way you can use it for the good instead of for chopping people's legs off. Okay? Let me show you how. And then you can start creating and bringing good into the world with tools that are powerful enough to chop people's legs off and to kill them. But that's not what they're designed for. You see, and there's the word of God. It's like, Lord, your word is all powerful. I want to see the fire come down and burn those people. Can I do it, please? It's like, no. That's not what it's there for. Let me show you what it's there for. That this power is not come in, is not in our hands and is not in our parts and is not in our lips to bring death to people. It's there to bring life to people. And as we speak, and as we learn how to speak, we learn how to bring life to people and not death in these things. So, heart, mouth, then it's the eyes, then it's the hands and the feet, okay? But heart and mouth is what we want to talk, want to focus on today. How should we speak? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. The parts we don't understand, Lord, we thank you for those. You put them in there for a reason, and you'll show us them. That reason one day, help us to live in an atmosphere of your word so that we can start to babble to you, we can start to just talk to you, and maybe it's all nonsense, but Lord, as we speak, may there be some parts where it's your word speaking back to you. And may we learn how to speak your word back to you. And may we learn, Lord, how to speak the truth. How to speak in this dark age. Thank you for your love. If I've said anything wrong, Lord, please let it come to your light. If I've said anything, Lord, that's a blessing and it'll get people closer. Let people just, let it sink into our hearts. Let's go forward and speak the words of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Sister Laura, if you want to come and grab the piano and what shall we sing? You have a suggestion? Holy words, long preserved. Okay, well, we're going to let Sister Laura pick the song. So. Do you know this one? Won't it be wonderful there? When with the Savior. Number 40. We enter the glory land. Do you folks know that one? Really lovely song. But it has that walking and talking with Christ, the supernal one. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the cares and the troubles of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh won't it be wonderful there, walking and talking with Christ the supernal one, won't it
be wonderful there. Praising, adoring the matchless eternal one, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing, with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing, with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
Amen. Now, Josh, you want to close in a word of prayer and just remember the Schwartzes and their cold?
Yeah, if you can come up. I'm sure they'd like to see you as well.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening. And just as we come to a close, we do just want to again lift up these prayer requests. The Schwartzes, Lord, under the weather, Lord, just fighting whatever. We just ask that you, your spirit would flood their home with your health and your strength, Lord. Just cleanse and make them whole. And we ask the same for Brother Alfred's friend there, Emmanuel, and those who are suffering with COVID, and for him, Lord, with that sense of smell, that, Lord, Scripture talks about how you care about even the animals, the birds of the field, and how much more do you care about us? And if a child asks a father for bread or for anything, and he would give it to them, won't give him a snake, won't give him a stone, how much more so, Lord, that you care for us? And for our infirmities, our lives, Lord. And so we're just resting in that. We're just coming to you and asking that you would. We're just asking as children, please help us, Lord. As we go this week, I pray that you would help us to finish strong in your strength, Lord, just that we would lean into you and step into you and move into you, Lord, and that you can work through us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.